Well, how do you do? Here we all are then. Yeah, now, my name is Henry Kipper, and this here, that's my boy Sid.
How do you do? Bit over-familiar, aren't they?
Well, they are, yeah. Aren't they? Yeah, now, see, we've been asked to come along here tonight by the BBC to tell you all about Kayleys in the old days in our village of Trunch.
That's right, all the old Kayleys they had in our village of Trunch in the old days. That's right, isn't it?
That's right,
yeah. Got to tell them all about that.
Well, we didn't used to have any.
No, we didn't. Never. We had something a bit like them. We had what they used to call barn dancers. I mean, that's what we used to
have. That's right, barn dancers. I'll tell you what we used to do. See, we all used to, we used to get into a sort of, a barn. And when we were in there, we used to, sort of dance, didn't
that's
we?
That's right, yeah. Now, I'll tell you what used to happen was, they used to have a bloke called a caller. Like that Mr. Hutchins has been. And at the start of the evening, everybody would be sitting round the edge, you see. All the women would be sitting up one side of the hall, or the barn. And all the men would be in the bar, you see. So that was his job, to try and get them together in the middle of the dance floor, preferably dancing. That was a general idea. And then after about half an hour, you'd be surprised, they'd all be in the middle of the dance floor, dancing away, happy as Larry. Yeah? Then some soft fool would get up and sing a song, wouldn't he?
That's right, yeah, that was the thing, yeah.
Yeah, so then everybody'd go into the bar again, and when he finished in the song, the caller had to call them all back and start all over again, you see? That's just how it used to work, weren't it? That was.
Yeah. Well, I think the real reason why they used to have the break and someone come and sing a song, that was to allow the band to go off to the lavatory and fill the glasses.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what they're doing now, I think. So better find some sore fool to sing a song. You want to do one, Father?
Well, all right.
Our father will do one, yeah.
Thank you very much for those few kind words.
Well, I'll say some more if you like.
That's quite enough from you. Thank you very much. I'm going to sing a song called The Old Irishman.
Father's going to sing a song called The Old Irishman.
The Old Irishman.
The Old Irishman.
I am an old Irishman, Derry's my name, and courting young maidens is all of my game. I court them all night, and I caught them all day, and when I've caught them to me, they all say, Derry down, 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 Derry down. Now a fair maiden smiled from a balcony high. I sung her sweet songs neath a soft summer sky. But when I climbed up for to perch on her ledge, the strength of my passion fair set her on edge. She sighed, down, 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 Derry down. Well, I placed my hand on her ankle so fine. She smiled and she sighed and she said 'twas divine. Placed me hand on her knee, her love to inspire. But then before I could get any higher, she sighed, down, 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 Derry down. Well, a lady once lived on the very top floor. The steps to her room numbered 74. I climbed them one night, full of passion devout. I got to the top and I found she was out.
I went down, 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 Derry down.
Now a charming young widow I met with one day. She told me her husband had long passed away. But just as I managed to get her to bed, he come through the door and he looked far from dead.
He say, down, 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 Derry, down.
Now I've courted young maidens for all of my life. I've loved them and left them, but ne'er took a wife. But when in the end up to heaven I go, I shan't be surprised if Saint Peter say, no,
you go down, 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 Derry, down, 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 Derry, down.
Derry down.
The old Irishman.
We'll do you one now, because this is a proper sort of a folk programme. I don't know if you noticed that, but that's what this folk on two thing. It's a proper sort of a folk programme, and we thought we'd do a proper old folk boring ballad. No, really long one, didn't we?
That's right, yeah,
really,
yeah.
Really long, boring ballad to sort of set the mood for the rest of the evening, didn't we?
Yeah, that's what we call, we always call this an old Scottish border ballad.
That's right, yeah. The old Scottish border ballad, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, well, you see, that always reminds us of the old Scottish border, what we had staying with us during the war.
That's right, we did, yeah. Yeah, he stayed with us right through the war, this Scotsman. That's an interesting story, how he come to us. As he was a bit of a strange bloke, wasn't
he? Oh, very peculiar, he was.
We actually found him, didn't we?
That's right, yeah.
We were out walking one day, and we found him sort of hanging up in this tree, didn't we?
Yeah, hanging down from a tree.
It was hanging by all these threads, and he'd got sort of a parasol over him, and he was dressed up as a nun, weren't he?
Well, that is what made us suspicious, you see.
Well, we thought he was a bit odd, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, but, well, he said he was, bird watching, you see.
That's what he was doing up there, that's right. Well, we cut him down, didn't we, and took him home, didn't we?
Well, that's right, but, mind you, it was very hard to understand what he was going on about, because he spoke in such a thick Scottish accent.
Oh, terrible, terrible thick Scottish accent he had, that's right, yeah.
He said his name was Fritz McSchmidt.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Of the McSchmidt clan, he said, that's what he said, wasn't it? That's right, yeah, yeah. The funny story, he stayed right through the war, and I can remember he used to be a great naturist, didn't he?
Oh, yes, he was, yes.
He could watch the wildlife of all sorts. In the mornings, he'd get on your bicycle, wouldn't he?
On my bike, yeah.
Before you had a chance to stop him, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And because in the war, you see, bicycling was rationed, weren't it?
Well, that's right, yeah.
You only like to do so many miles a week, and that was the end of it, wasn't it? He used to get on with it with his little haversack, and he'd have his packed lunch, and his binoculars, and his gas mask, and a little book for writing down what he'd seen. What did he call it? He used to call it his code book.
His code book, he called it.
Yeah, I don't understand what that was. Yeah. And he'd go off and happy as Larry, weren't he?
He used to go looking at birds and wildlife and all that, you see. And he used to come back at night, and he reckoned the best place to go and look was all round the airfields, what we had in Norfolk.
That's right, yeah. And I'll tell you another peculiar thing about him. He used to think that the people on the wireless could hear him talking to them. Yeah, didn't he? Because he brought his wireless with him, and he used to tune into these really thick Scottish programmes, And then he used to tell them all what he'd seen during the day. You know, I mean, I suppose he was harmless enough, weren't he?
Well,
really?
He was harmless enough, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah.
We call this the Scottish Border Ballad, though, because he never really made much sense. Nor does this, really, does it? That's,
no, it don't. No, it's an old border ballad that's called Big Musgrave.
Big Musgrave, that's called, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll hold the book, shall I?
Right, you are, yeah. Big Musgrave.
All right, yeah. Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
No, don't think so, no.
Yeah, yeah. Big Musgrave, then. Just getting myself cycled up for this one, because it's very long and boring, you see. All right?
Great, off yeah. you go, yeah.
A holiday, a holiday, and all the people dozed. Lord Ormsby's wife went into town, but everything was closed.
She couldn't get no shopping done,
and so she looked around. And there she saw big fatty groves a-lying on the ground. Go home, you fatty groves, you are a drunken lout. Go home, you fatty groves, you should not be let out. Well, I can't go home, and I won't go home, and I can't go home for me life. For the ring off me finger I have lost, I'll be murdered by me wife. Well, if I am quite frank with you, your wife is not at home. For she is in my husband's bed, and she is not alone. So, as I've nothing else to do, no, really not a thing, I might as well come back with you and help you find the ring. Now, a servant who was standing there, just why nobody knows, he swore his cronies they should hear before the pub was closed. And when he come to the Broadmill stream, he did not see the plank. And in his hurry to carry the news, he fell on his belly and he sank. Big Fatty and Lord Ormsby's wife, they hunted far and low. But where Big Fatty's ring might be, they neither of them know. Big Fatty and Lord Ormsby's wife, they hunted high and wide, till Fatty fell upon the bed, and she fell by his side. Big Fatty groves, he got up to go and wash his face. When he returned, Lady Ormsby's husband lay there in his place, saying, well, I like your feather bed, and well, I like your sheets, and well, to be frank, I like your wife who lies in my arms asleep. Stay there, said Fatty Groves, I shall not rant and curse, for you have got the better of me, and I have got the worse. Stout fellow, said Lady Ormsby's husband, taken like a man. But in then come Mrs. Fatty Groves, and in amazement stands, saying, how do you like my feather bed? How do you like my sheets? And how do you like the curtains that I got in the sale last week? Well, up then spoke Mrs. Fatty Groves, never heard to speak so cheap. You told me you couldn't stand your wife, and now with her you sleep. Lady Ormsby's husband, he jumped up and he ran right out the door. I didn't know that was her, he cried, and was never seen no more. Well, Fatty fainted clean away at the closeness of the call. The ladies picked him up, and they leant him against the wall. They leant him up against the wall, but that was a disaster. For Fatty weighed full 20 stone, and the wall just lath and plaster. Well, the wall gave way, Fatty fell outside. And when he come to the broad pavement, he fell on his head and he died. Oh, a grave, these ladies cry to bury Fatty in. But better you make it extra large, or you won't get him all in. How typical, these ladies they did say. How typical of men to go and spoil a holiday. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
we'll sing this whole song that's got rhubarb in the chorus.
Rhubarb in the chorus, yeah. That sort of repeat all the way round. That's some. The chorus go. That go with me, rhubarb pie, on the fiddle I, right up the middle I go. That's one of them old symbolical choruses I used to have. I used to have a lot of them in the old days, and we've still got some left, so we're using them up. And if you'd like to help us use this one up, we'd be very grateful. So,
right, you are. Let go like this here.
Like this here.
As I walked out one June morning, so early, 'twas there I spied a fair pretty maid just as her skirt was arising, with me rhubarb pie on the fiddle I, right up the middle I go. Her stockings white, her skirt was tight, her suspenders shone like silver. She had a dark and a rolling eye, and another one quite similar. With me rhubarb pie on the fiddle I, right up the middle I go. How old are you, my fair pretty maid? How old are you, my honey? I know your sort was her retort, and I'm not 16 till Sunday. With me rhubarb pie on the fiddle I, right up the middle I go. Well, you take a man, my fair pretty maid, will you take a man, my honey bright? She answered me most cheerfully, I dare not, but my mummy might. With me rhubarb pie on the fiddle I, right up the middle I go. So
I went down to her mammy's house, where a red light shone so clearly. But the girl come down and she let me in, and I laid in her arms till the morning. With me rhubarb pie on the fiddle I, right up the middle I go. Now, soldier, will you marry me? For I'll have no one else. Oh, no, said I, that just can't be, for I'm not 16 myself. With me rhubarb pie on the fiddle I, right up the middle I go. Oh, with me rhubarb pie on the fiddle I, right up the middle I go. I go.
Now, another thing we used to do in the summer was an old custom we used to have called Old Soaks Day. Now, that was a day when we all used to drink, didn't we?
Yeah.
From morning to night. Used to do it more than once a year sometimes.
Yeah. Now, there was an old saying, he used to go, drunk on Old Soaks Day, drunk for 40 days.
That's right.
And that was always right. Mind you, nobody know what used to happen if you weren't drunk on Old Soaks Day, because nobody ever been in that state, but...
Now, that was all done in honour of a very famous man...
Oh, ah, yeah.
...who come from our village. He was the most famous man ever to come from Trunch.
That's right.
Weren't he? Well, till now, he was. But, I suppose you've probably heard of him. He's in all the history books. Bald General Coote.
Bald General Coote, that was his name, yeah.
Now, he was a very famous drinking general, weren't
That's
he?
That's right, yeah. And, a general drinker as well, weren't he? I mean,
general drinker. Oh, he drunk anything, didn't he?
Yeah, but the thing is that a lot of people wonder why there's no memorial in Trunch to Bald General Coote. I met a bloke just this morning, and he said, why isn't there any statue or, you know, memorial to Bald General Coote in Trunch? Because that's the first thing you see.
Oh, yes, you can't help noticing. As soon as you drive into Trunch, first thing you see, no memorial.
That's right, yeah. Smack you straight in the eye, that do. That's,
I do, yeah. Now, there is a reason for it. And I'll tell you for why. Now, many years ago, after he died, all the people of the village, they had a bit of a whip round.
Yeah.
in the old goat, and they raised a large sum of money and put up a statue on the village green.
That's right, yeah.
To his memory. And they had a big unveiling ceremony.
Yeah.
They invited all the local famous dignitaries to come along. They had the Lord Mayor of Cromer.
Yep. And the Cromer lifeboat men come.
Oh, that's right, yep. Cromer lifeboat men. And the singing postman, he was there.
Yeah. Tell you how long ago it was, don't it?
No,
and Bernard Matthews, he was
Bernard
there.
Bernard Matthews. Mind you, he weren't invited, Bernard Matthews.
No.
He get every bloody way, though, don't he? Anyway, they had this ceremony, they whipped off the veil.
Whipped off the veil.
Whipped it off. And all these people, they gasped in amazement.
Gasped, yeah.
At how lifelike the statue was. But then, according to the local legend, the statue began to quiver and quake at the knees. And then that fell down in a vast, undignified heap on the floor.
On the floor.
And all the people, they gasped again, because that was even more lifelike, you see.
That's right, yeah.
See, so that's why there's no memorial to Bald General Coote in the village of Trunch to this very day.
This very day.
Saturday.
Saturday, that's right, yeah.
But there is an old song all about him.
Yeah, we'll do that now. It's got a bit of a chorus to it, if you'd like to join in. If not, we'll do it on our own. But I led my men with courage bold, with bullards strong and adnams old, Napoleon brandy and navy rum, but now at last to the dregs I have come. So if you want to join in with that, you're more than welcome. Bald General Coote, that is my name, a drinking man of noble fame, with bottle and glass quite unsurpassed, but I've landed in the drink at last. I led my men with courage bold, with bullard strong and Adam's old, Napoleon brandy and navy rum, but now at last to the dregs I have come. I sank them with Nelson as the rounds they flew on the deck of the Victory. He had a fair foo. Some say 'twas blind courage that caused his downfall. Blind drunk is more like it, as I recall. I led my men with courage bold, with bullard strong and Adenham's old, Napoleon brandy and navy rum, but now at last to the dregs I have come. I drunk at the bottle of Waterloo, a glorious victory for England too. But my only fight in that country so far was the fight I had to get to the bar. I led my men with courage bold, with bullard strong and Adnams old, Napoleon brandy and navy rum, but now at last to the dregs I have come. I fought for my country all at the Crimea, but the only Crimea was the price of the beer. The Light Brigade come all to grief, but we'd plenty of brown
For our relief, I left my men with courage bold, with bull as strong and adamant old. Napoleon brandy and navy rum, but now at last to the dregs I have come. I was there when Lady Smith was relieved, when they brought her a drink, a great sigh she did heave. The pints of beer come rolling in, and General Gordon, he ordered a gin. I led my men with courage bold, with bull as strong and adamant old. Napoleon brandy and navy rum, but now at last to the dregs I have come. But now my campaigns are all over, I fear. My hand it do shake, my eye is not clear, and all on my stones these words you should fix: he died dead drunk, age 26. I led my men with courage bold, with bull as strong and adamant old. Napoleon brandy and navy rum, but now at last to the dregs I have come.
I have come. I there have you go. Come.
Well, thank you kindly. Well, now, so the year goes on.
And on.
And on. And we come to the harvest time.
Yeah. They used to have one or two old harvest customs. I suppose I better tell you about them. The first one was called Harvest Home.
Harvest Home.
Harvest Home. That used to be when you used to go out and you used to get somebody else's harvest and take it home. That was an older... an old thing. And you can still see relics of that today. Because if you go around the countryside, you'll notice that there are big notices. I used to put big notices up to try and stop people doing it. And I used to put them up saying, pick your own, they used to put. And they're still about today, those are,
right?
So that...
No, that's right, though, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. That was one. And then there was illegal ploughing, that was another one. And what used to happen was, I used to reckon if you ploughed in everybody else's crops, then yours would be worth a lot more, you see. So they used to go out at night, and they used to get the old plough out at dark, and they used to plough up other people's crops. Now, that was, strictly speaking, that was against the law, actually. And they had to be very careful. And if they heard anybody coming or saw a light or anything, they used to have to shift, get out of it very fast, didn't they?
Oh, well, they did. There was an old song about it, weren't there?
Oh, what, you mean, we plough the fields and scatter? That was, yeah, that was the one, yeah.
That's the one? Yeah, but... We aren't going to do that one, though.
No.
We're going to do another old harvest song. Now, you probably know there's a lot of old harvest drinking songs.
Yeah, a lot of drinking at harvest time.
There was always a lot of very hard drinking.
Very hard drinking, yeah.
Now, the reason that was so hard was because the beer was so bloody awful.
That's right, yeah. It weren't like today when you get your nice clean pint, you know, that was all yucky and full of bit. Well, more like this, you know. And, well, it was. See, all the farmers used to brew their own beer, didn't they, in the old
days?
That's right.
All the rich farmers, they had nothing better to do, so they used to turn to home brewing.
Home brewing, that's right, yeah.
And, of course, that was so bloody awful, they used to make all the men drink the stuff, didn't they? So.
Yeah.
And that's what this song's all about.
It's got a bit of a chorus that goes, so drink, boys, drink, that is the master's brew, and if you do not drink it, there'll be no more work for you. So if you'd like to join in with that, you're as soft as you look. All right.
That's called Harvest Away.
Harvest Away.
Now harvest time is here, my boys, so raise a bumper do. To oats and beans and barley, oh, and to the turnips too. Now early in the morning, oh, we rise up with the quail. A lump of greasy bacon fat and half a pint of ale. So drink, boys, drink, that is the master's brew. And if you do not drink it, there'll be no more work for you. We stagger to the harvest field for to begin our labours. And carry heavy firkins, each one bigger than his neighbours. We've barely started working when we have to stop, I fear. For now it is our duty bound to drink a pint of beer. So drink, boys, drink, that is the master's brew. And if you do not drink it, there'll be no more work for you. And at the hour of 10 o'clock, our progress is cut short. The foreman cries, set to my boys, now you must drink a quart. The work is hard, the sun is hot, 'tis hard to keep your balance. Especially in the afternoon when you've had several gallons. So drink, boys, drink, that is the master's brew. And if you do not drink it, there'll be no more work for you. When harvest time is over, boys, that's to the pub we'll steer. For there our master do provide more barrels of strong beer. When closing time is here at last, thank God we can all stop. For even if he paid us, we couldn't drink another drop. So drink, boys, drink, that is the master's brew. And if you do not drink it, there'll be no more work for you. Now we will have a holiday before our work's resumption. The doctors say we need the rest, we're suffering from consumption. My back is sore, my arms are stiff, my legs like lumps of lead. But all of that is nothing to the aching of my head. So drink, boys, drink, that is the master's brew. And if you do not drink it, there'll be no more work for you.
No more work for you, there you go.
Here we come a-wassailing all among the leaves. That isn't very easy when they're still all on the trees.
Wassail, wassail, we'll tell you wassail. That comes in bottles brown and pale. Comes in bottles, so bring some here. And we'll have a happy new year.
Let us now be thankful that the old year have departed. But there's no time for peace before another one has started.
Wassail, wassail, we'll tell you wassail. That comes in bottles brown and pale. Comes in bottles, so bring some here. And we'll have a happy new year.
Now the year have passed away, cast away your sins. There's lots of lovely new ones as another year begins.
Wassail, wassail, we'll tell you wassail. That comes in bottles brown and pale. Comes in bottles, so bring some here. And we'll have a happy new year.
Pouring cider on the apple tree seems rather wrong. We'll drink it first and then we'll water the trees before too long. Was ale, we'll tell you was ale. Comes in bottles brown and pale. Comes in bottles, so bring some hair and we'll have a happy new year. Bring food from off your table and beer from out of your barrel. For if you don't, we'll stop and sing another ancient carol. Was ale, we'll tell you was ale. That comes in bottles brown and pale. Comes in bottles, so bring some here. And we'll have a happy new year.
Happy new year. Happy there you new go, year. So down.
This is a song all about a bloke what went riding round Norfolk on his dickie.
On his dickie, that's right.
Now, of course, you might not understand this because I've noticed some people around these parts talk a bit funny.
Oh, aye.
And,
yeah.
And of course, what you call a donkey is what we call a dickie.
That's right, yeah, a dickie.
And consequently, what we call a donkey jacket, I suppose you call it a dicky shirt.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah.
Or the other way round. Anyhow.
I think we'll just get on and do the song, actually. He ride all round Norfolk on his dicky, and this is all about what happens to him while he's doing it. And the vicar says... The vicar actually said it's got something to do with cobblers' rural rides, but I don't know what that's like. He knows more about cobblers than I do, so there you have it. Anyhow, we'll do the song. That's a good joining one. It's got a chorus that goes, gee up and away we go, dicky riding, gee up and away we go, riding on a dicky. There you are. So. Please join in with it if you like.
Right, you are, dicky riding. Was you ever in Yarmouth town? From every window strings hang down. That's very handy, so I've found, for tying up your dickie. Gee up and away we go, dickie riding, dickie riding. Gee up and away we go, riding on a dickie. Was you ever on Thetford Chase? We entered there a dickie race. I had to leave there in disgrace for novelling my dickie. Gee up and away we go, dickie riding, dickie riding. Gee up and away we go, riding on a dickie. Was you ever in Dereham town, where the girls they do come down, then go up, then round and round, then ride off on your dickie. Gee up and away we go, dickie riding, dickie riding. Gee up and away we go, riding on a dickie. Did you ever go to Trunch? I stopped there just to have some lunch. And while I downed a glass of punch, some bugger pinched my dickie. Gee up and away we go, dickie riding, gee up and away we go, riding on a dickie. Now round Norfolk I have rode, I hope you like this the tale I've told. I've been so busy and so bold, I've fair worn out my dickie. Gee up and away we go, dickie riding, gee up and away we go, riding on a dickie.
On a Thank you very much.
I've been singing now for nigh on 60 years, this song.
Nigh on 61 year now, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it must be, but now
you said nigh on 60 year last year, I know. So
anyhow, I've been singing it a long while.
That's right, yeah.
Been singing it generations, this song. And I can't make head nor tail of it. So, still, I'll sing it for you now and see what you make of it.
Yes, good. That's a good joining in song, so if you want to join in with it, you can. Can't they?
Well, you can, yes.
No, that's all right.
We don't mind, do we?
Don't care either way, really, do we? We can manage quite well without them, can't we, if we don't?
Anyhow, go like this here.
Go like this here.
It's of a female highwayman all on a summer's day. She said, a frolic I will have and dress in man's array. And I'll ride out along the lea and hope my true love I will see. And there I'll test his constancy with a female highwayman. With
a female highwayman.
With
a female highwayman. And there I'll test his constancy with a female highwayman.
And so this female highwayman hath mounted on a horse, and she rode out, and there she met her own true love, of course. Stand and deliver, sir, she said, or if you don't, I'll shoot you dead. Or would you rather come to bed with a female highwayman?
With
a female highwayman.
With
a female highwayman. Or would you rather come to bed with a female highwayman? So they jogged on together till they come unto an inn, and there they called an ostler, and boldly they walked in. They called for liquors of the best. They went upstairs and got undressed. What happened next can ne'er be guessed. To the female highwayman,
to the female highwayman,
to the female highwayman. What happened next can ne'er be guessed. To the female highwayman.
For
she pulled off her breeches, and likewise her jacket red. She taken off her velvet cape, and lay upon the bed. Her true love in amazement stands. That
seen the end of all his plans. For she have proved to be a man. This female highwayman. This female highwayman. This female highwayman. For she have proved to be a man. This female highwayman. True love stand like wonder mazed, and at her he did stare. But when the duke he did find out, he loudly did declare, "Fear not, my love, there's time to smile." He threw his clothes down in a pile. He was a female all the while. For the female highwayman. For the female highwayman. For the female highwayman. He was a female all the while. For the female highwayman.
Expect a lot of you know that we get a lot of our old songs out of grandfather's old book here, all the original ones in the book, what he written there many, many years ago, which was quite a feat, because he was totally legitimate, weren't you, Father?
He was, yeah.
But anyhow, we also we get some of them other places, and some of them we remember ourselves. And just recently we've been doing a lot of hard remembering, and we just remembered a lot of old songs from an old ballad opera about the crab wars, what they had between Cromer and Sheridan many years ago. I expect you know all about them in the history books, I expect, but you know. But the thing was, they had this old ballad opera about it. And we remembered most of the old songs now, and it's been very hard work. And
it is hard work, because you see, a lot of these songs go back 200 or 300 years, don't they?
A lot of them have been forgotten 200 or 300 years, actually. So,
yeah, that take a lot to remember them, don't they?
That's right. But we remembered some, and we'll do a couple for you now. And we'll start off with the one what introduced the whole thing, because a lot of people know about the crab wars and who fought who and what the battles were and all that sort of thing, but they don't actually know what started it. So we'll do this song about what started it all. And that's called Come All You, that's called, in the parlour.
Come All You, that's
Come All You, that's called, yeah.
And go like this here.
That's right.
Come all you good people that go out a-crabbing with hemp rope and pot, all as merry as can be. I'll tell you the story of the crab boat, the Scuttler, with the pluckiest crab boys that e'er put to sea. As they were a-floating all out on the briny, a-seeking their crab pots one morning in May, they searched and they hunted, but none could discover, till up spoke the captain, these words he did say. I'm up spoke the captain, George up spoke of Cromer, don't fear that we'll go home unladen again. For if we sail this boat to the crab grounds of Sheringham, we'll take some of theirs and come home wealthy men. So sideways they sailed,
as a crab boat must do, till the Sheridan crab beds were off the aft bow. Wake up, all you crabs, was the cry of the fisherman. Get dressed in your best, cos you're Cromer crabs now. They hauled up their pots till their boat that was laden, their gunwales awash, but their rollicks quite dry. They bent all their oars with the weight of their cargo, but just halfway back another boat they did spy. By the cut of her jib and the tear in her mainsail, they knew that she sailed out of old Sheringham. And up spoke up to his brave jolly crewman, "Why, here are the robbers of our crabs, I'll be damned." But the Sheringham sailors had spotted them also, and noticed their catch of fine Sheringham crabs. Their skipper cried out, "You shall never reach Cromer. We'll sink you and send you to the bottom with the dabs." And so these two crab boats, they fought on the ocean, broad bow to broad bow, with no time for to think. Their 89th meeting, that was a completing, and down to the bottom both vessels did sink. When the people of Cromer and the people of Sheringham, they heard of their losses, they rose up in arms. In the King's Arms and the Queen's Arms, and arose they arose, and they swore that the crabbing should ne'er be calm.
More be calm, yeah. I just tell you something, because a lot of people don't believe that those old crab boats used to go sideways, because the thing is, there aren't any of them left now, because they were all sunk in the crab wars, because they weren't very good for fighting, and you can imagine. But I'll tell you how I know it's true, because they had these sideways boats, and they had an oar out of each end, you see, or side, depending on which way you were looking at it. And of course, they had to be great long oars, you see, just one great long oar. And so what they had to do in these towns, they had to breed up special men to row, and they had to breed specially short men, and specially middle-sized men, and specially tall men, you see, to row this boat. And that's right, isn't it, Father? That's what I'm
telling
you.
That's all true, yes. If you don't believe it, you can go to Cromer tomorrow.
That's right, you can.
Or Sheringham.
Yeah.
And you'll still see, to this very day, you'll see tall people and middle-sized people. Well,
that's
and,
right, you
and
will,
little,
yeah.
Short people, you see. Yeah,
that's right. So that just goes to show, you see, probably that's right.
Yeah.
We'll do you another one of the songs from the Ballad Opera, and this is about a little battle, what they had during the Crab Wars.
That weren't so much a battle, really, that was just a bit of skirmish, really.
Well, I suppose it was, really, yeah. But,
can't go like this
it's
one.
Got,
really,
it's right. Got what they call a refrain. I don't know why they call it that, because every bugger always join in, don't they?
Do.
But there you have it. But I suppose, you know. If you want to, you can as well, I suppose.
Go like this here.
Go like this here.
Our ship she laid in harbour, our captain laid in bed. But who he laid I just don't know, because he never said. He was waiting for fresh orders when he leapt up with a shout. If I'm the captain, hadn't I better start giving some orders out?
If I'm the captain, hadn't I better start giving some orders out?
tea. Cried, come, come, me jolly brave boys, each with a valiant heart. 'Tis time we joined the bat, the gods that seem to be falling apart. And so we weighed the anchor and measured it as well. That seemed to be about the right size, as best as we could tell. And that seemed to be about the right size, as best as we could tell. Bound down for the coast of Sheringham, our orders did run so. We're bound to sink and destroy, me boys, no matter where we go. We're bound to sink and destroy, boys, these words did the captain speak. We're bound to sink, that much I know, for we have sprung a leak. Well, we're bound to sink, that much I know, for we have sprung a leak. We had not been a-sailing past 30 feet or more, when we espied a strange sail, and down on us she bore. The strangest sail I'd ever seen in all my years afloat. But if you think that sail was strange, you should have seen the boat. But if you think that sail was strange, you should have seen the boat. Good Lord, the captain, he did cry, and what shall we do now? For here's a saucy pirate come to rob us all, I know. Oh no, the first mate did reply, I'll put your mind at ease. They have not come to rob us, just to drown us in the seas. They have not come to rob us, just to drown us in the seas. Then Broadstone to Broadstone, a cannon roared like thunder. They fired half our deck away, which caused us all to wonder. Then half of that they fired as well, and things were getting rough. We only had a quarter deck left, which really wasn't enough. We only had a quarter deck left, which really wasn't enough. There were just 3 men left on board, the captain, me and the mate. We were the few that had come through on board that 98. Their skipper stood on the poop deck, his hands to his mouth he cupped, and yelled out, come in 98, for now your time is up. And he yelled out, come in 98, for now your time is up. So on the high seas high, we could no longer stay. 'Twas time to leave the battle, for it was not going our way. Our men were dead or drowned, the ship was sinking fast. But our captain went down with his ship, for we lashed him to the mast. Our captain went down with his ship, for we lashed him to the mast.
To the mast.
There we are.
Well, there's your song about the dogs, is that there?
That's right, yes, yeah. That'll do. We'll do an old song about the dogs. That's, well, that's about the toasting of the hounds.
Toasting of the hounds, that's right, yeah. That's an old custom we used to have round about our way in the old days, yeah.
Well, that's not really an old custom. That's like an old recipe we used to have, really.
Well, that is really, yeah. Well, we never did it. We never did it in our village of Trunch. We never toasted the hounds in Trunch. We used to boil them more often, actually, didn't we? I think if any of you got an old hound you want to cook at home, or with you tonight, I think you'll find that boiling keep the flavour in a lot better than toasting. That's just a little tip for you there.
Besides, we can never get them under the grill on our
cooker. No. I don't know if we've got any cookery experts in here tonight, but...
you never know,
we've got one or two old recipes. We used to have another... What was that other dog one we used to have?
What, you mean, Cockle Spaniel?
Cockle Spaniel, that's a very good one. We've got a dog lover in here. I think that's disgusting, that sort of thing, don't you, dog lover? Anyway, we'll get on to the song. Tell them how the chorus goes.
Yes, there's an old song called Dido Fido.
Dido Fido, yeah.
And they've got a chorus that go, there was Dido, Fido, Bonzo and Rex.
And Rex, that's right, yeah.
Rover and Lassie and Spot.
Spot.
There was Butch, there was Candy, and there was Patch, and there was Sandy.
Patch and Sandy, that's it, yep.
And these were the dogs what I had got.
That's right. Yeah. All right, to join in with that, that's very much up to you. Where you go, Father?
Dido Fido.
Dido Fido.
Well, one morning last autumn, I was walking my dogs when the Duke of Wellington we did meet. Now, Bonzo and Rover, they slobbered him all over, while Fido nearly knocked him off his feet.
Well, there was Dido, Fido, Bonzo and Rex, Rover and Lassie and Spot. There was Butch, there was Candy, there was Patch and there was Sandy. These were the dogs what I had got.
Well, don't worry, sir, I said. He won't hurt you, that's just his way of saying he liked you a lot. But he took my little dog and kicked him in the bog, and said, that's my way of saying I do not.
Well, there was Dido, Fido, Bonzo and Rex, Rover and Lassie and Spot. There was Butch, there was Candy, there was Patch and there was Sandy. These were the dogs what I had got.
Now, the first dog being old, he was a trifle deaf. He couldn't hear a single word I said. And so, when I told him sit, he made an awful mess. When I cleaned it up, I shot that bugger dead.
That still left Dido, Fido, Bonzo and Rex, Rover and Lassie and Spot. There was Butch, there was Candy, there was Patch and there was Sandy. These were the dogs what I had got.
Now the next dog being daft, and not all the ticket, he made straight away for the river. And there he did jump in, but that bugger couldn't swim. That's the last we saw of him forever.
There was Dido, Fido, Bonzo and
Bonzo and Rex,
and Lassie and
Lassie and Spot.
There was Butch, there was Candy,
there was
Candy,
there was Patch and Sandy.
These were the dogs what I had got.
They chased a rabbit or the plane, but that chased them back again. which put my poor old dogs in quite a stew. Now that's just 12 months today since I heard the squire say I should have them all put down if I was you.
Well, there was Dido, Fido, there was Bonzo
and Rex, and Rover and Lassie and Spot.
There was Butch.
There was Candy,
there was Sandy,
Sandy.
These were the dogs what I had got.
Dido Fido,
yeah,
proper old song. What we're going to do, Father's going to play his old melodeon here.
Here we are. That's my old melodeon. Now, that's not my best melodeon. Because some of you might know that my best melodeon, what you might have seen me play in the past, I'm sad to say I had that stolen.
Yeah, I got nicked, that bit.
Got nicked. And I was very sad because it meant a lot to me, that old melodeon, didn't it?
Well, it's supposed to, yeah.
That, well, that come down to me from my old father.
Oh, yeah, that did, yeah.
Well, he threw it out of the upstairs window at me one night when I was late home, but... the thing is, we think we know who nicked it.
Yeah, we think we know who had it, yeah.
We think that was the Trunch Musical Appreciation Society.
That's right, yeah.
So you'll have to make do with this rather broken down old melodeon what I've got here.
Yeah, and the rather broken down old melodeon play what we've got to play it for, yeah. And that while he's playing it in the background, I'm going to be playing this instrument here. I don't know if you've seen it before. I don't see many of them about these days. It's an instrument called the Trunch Blowpipes. And it's got a bit of a history. That come over to Norfolk many years ago with the Flems. If we had a lot of Flems come over on medical advice, you see, for the sake of the fresh air and that, you know. But the thing was, being Flems, I couldn't play any instrument what you had to blow down. Because that'd have been too embarrassing, you know. So he had this instrument with a foot pump. Yeah, I'll get the rest of it out and you can see that. This is the foot pump, look here. This is a bit, don't know if you can all see that, but now that's not the old original foot pump. In the early days when the Flems used to play it, they used to use an old goat's bladder to play this with. But rather sadly, after years and years, the old goat died. So they had to find a replacement, and this is what we use nowadays. But what we're going to do, we're going to play a little medley of tunes from our village of Trunch, and it's called Strip the Widow. So,
here we go.
To leave the Kipper family stripping the widow to the sound of the Trunch blowpipes. And tonight we also featured the Spinners, the Bothy Band, the Klezmerim, Dan Crary, Holly Near and Intilimani, Stan Hugel, Jim McGeehan and Johnny Collins, and the Press Gang. My name's Jim Lloyd, producer Jeffrey Hewitt. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you.